me and turn to the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Peter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. When you are ready, please say amen.
Amen.
The elders which are among you. Are we not ready yet? Let's read together.
Amen.
The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for another opportunity to deliver your word to your precious people. Move me out of the way right now. Kill me, hides behind the cross of Christ. Cover this place with your blood. Invade this place with your spirit. Let your word not return to you void, but make sure it accomplishes all that you called it to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I was doing all right before that prayer, right, Mr. Wilson? To my pastor, my father-in-law. Mr. Wilson, and to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's good to be back.
Amen.
Today we're going to speak from the subject of cleaning out my closet. Now, the closet is the mind, and it's our emotions, it's our will, it's our intellect, it's our soul, it's our heart. The closet is the secret place that each of us has where our real selves are exposed. It's that place where we drop all the pretenses, where we quit front. It's a place where we drop that face we put on for the world, and we are our true selves. Now, our doctors tell us that stress is a leading killer today, especially among Americans. See, we live life at 1,000 miles an hour. Because there's so much happening in our lives and all around us. I remember in the weeks leading up to Kristen's birth back in 93, I rented a pager. Now, just in case I had to be reached at a moment's notice. And after she was born, I turned that thing in because there was nothing else going on in my life or in my job that required me to be reached instantly. But fast forward 14 years later, and everybody has a cell phone. Some of us even have two.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and we're all accessible by phone, email, text messages, and nobody has an excuse to say, well, I didn't have a way to reach you. See, our quiet time can be interrupted by friends and family and work in an instant. And this causes us to not really take the time to relax and reflect and rejuvenate and recharge ourselves because we truly don't get a chance to get away from all the pressures and issues that weigh us down. So we don't often have enough time to even get to the closet in our lives, let alone to clean it out, because so much is going on. See, we have all these things going on in our lives, and we're going through problems. That's not the time to step back and look at how big the problem is and try to figure out what we're going to do about it. That's the time to kneel down and look at how big our God is.
That's
and realize
right.
we're not going to do anything about it, but He is.
That's right. That's right.
And when we walk through these verses in 1 Peter, we'll see that Peter outlines to us exactly how we should deal with our problems and our issues and our pressure. And there's some off-quoted scriptures in here about casting all your care upon Jesus because He cares for us and resisting the devil. But there's some things that we miss, which is why we don't always see the results we should see when we do those two things. So today we're going to learn how to clean out the closet. We're going to learn how to win over worry. We're going to learn how to resist the devil so he runs away from us like the coward that he really is. And the first thing we need to consider as we clean out the closet is we need to remember that we are a family. Okay? Now, when we accepted Christ and became born again, the Bible tells us that we became members of God's family. And some will tell you that we're all children of God. That's not true. We're all creations of God.
That's right.
However, we move from creationship to relationship only when we accept the saving grace of Jesus and the blood that He shed for us on that cross and His resurrection.
Yes.
When you do that, the door is open. And you and I are no longer just individuals with something and someone in common, but we become family.
That's right.
And we're forever connected to one another and become each other's key. This is why Peter spends the first 5 verses of this chapter talking about how we should treat one another. He talks about how we should look after one another. He talks about how we should be accountable to one another. He talks about how we should interact with one another. He focuses on our relationships with other Christians. So we like to address each other as sister so-and-so and brother this and that. But do we really understand that we really are brothers and sisters? We have the same Father.
That's right.
We're cleansed by the same blood. We accepted the same salvation. We're going to spend eternity together in the same heaven. But yet, we hurt each other deeply.
That's right. That's
the way we treat one another. If you're totally honest, you will have to admit that some of the people who have hurt you and disappointed you the most are right here in the church. And we need to realize that we really are brothers and sisters.
That's right.
See, if you don't talk about your earthly brother and sister and won't let anybody else do it, why do you talk about me? See, I'm your brother. And because of Jesus, I deserve your love and respect, even more so than your earthly brother and sister. See, I didn't deserve the love of Jesus, but I had.
That's right.
I didn't deserve the respect of Jesus, but I had. And if I have His, why can't I have yours?
That's right.
Jesus said the way that the world would know we are His disciples is if we love one another.
Don't want to know. That's right.
Nobody would say that because family loves one another. Family looks out for one another. Family sacrifices for one another. Family never rejoices in each other's pain or suffering or hard times. They do all they can to help bring an end to it. Now, of course, family members, especially brothers and sisters, don't always get along the way they're supposed to. And they don't always agree with one another.
That's right.
But even when they disagree, they still love each other and eventually realize that no minor disagreement is worth trashing the entire relationship over.
That's right.
See, we all understand that we don't get the opportunity to choose our earthly brothers and sisters. And we don't get to choose our spiritual brothers and sisters.
That's right.
See, we have the brothers and sisters we have because we have the same parents. And we need to remember that we have the same Heavenly Father.
That's right.
And that there are no favorites with Him. We are all God's favorite child. In fact, when we think about it, God loves us just as much as He loves Jesus.
That's right.
Now let that sink in for a minute. God the Father loves us just as much as He loves His Son Jesus. There's nothing Jesus can get from the Father that you and I can. In fact, God the Father loves us so much, He let Jesus suffer and die just so we can become members of His family.
That's right.
So when we mistreat each other, and we stop speaking to one another, and we start loving one another, I can just imagine Jesus saying, that's not what I went to the cross for.
Mm-hmm.
Our relationship with each other is just that deep. It's just that intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful that Jesus has much more patience with and compassion on us than we have with each other.
Mm-hmm.
See, when our brothers and sisters are going through problems, we're to help them, encourage them, and learn from those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look around this room, we probably have every problem a human can experience represented right here in this room. Somebody has experienced the loss of a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has experienced the loss of a job.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we have someone here that's experienced the loss of eyesight, the loss of good health, money problems, relationship problems.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's dealt with the pain of an extramarital affair. Somebody has problems with their children. Somebody's got problems on a job.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has problems in school. Somebody's been locked up in jail problem.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has had to suffer with substance abuse problem. The list can go on.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever problem or negative thing a human can experience, somebody in this room right now has either gone through it, is going through it now, or will go through it someday.
That's right.
And when we know someone is facing those challenges, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to talk about them? We're supposed to laugh at them? We're supposed to ignore them? No. We're supposed to pray for them.
That's right.
We're supposed to support them. We're supposed to encourage them. We're supposed to help them through it because, after all, it just might be you.
That's right.
Standing in the need one day.
That's right.
The first step to clean out the closets, we have to realize that we are a family and treat each other that way.
That's right.
And the second step to clean out our closet is we must understand and practice humility.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 6, Peter talks about humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt us and promote us in due time.
Mm-hmm.
Due time means when God says we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Not when we say or we think we're ready. See, when I look at all the things God's blessed me with in my life, although it may have been much more convenient for me to have some of those things years ago,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't ready to handle it. See, God can't give you everything you want when you want it because he knows just how you will behave.
That's right.
Okay? And this is the point that we all need to understand, especially our young people, that life is not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Life's a marathon.
That's right.
It's not a race to the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scenic countryside drive. See, we're to enjoy the journey and learn things along the way so that when we arrive at our destination, we're well-equipped.
Mm-hmm.
And well experienced and well able to accomplish all those things that God has set out for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult, if not impossible, to lead someone someplace you've never been.
That's right.
You cannot tell somebody how to give up drinking if you've never taken one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember 2 years ago, we started our purity sessions with our young people. I know there were people whispering, and some even saying it out loud. I can so-and-so teach purity class. Look at what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Look straight ahead, don't change your facial expression. Nobody's going to know I'm talking about you. Okay? It's not be naive. People actually did that here. And there are two responses to that kind of thinking. Number one, if you were so much more qualified to work with our teenagers, why didn't you?
That's right.
Where were you when we needed you? Where were you when we were looking for volunteers? Where were you when we needed mentors and prayer warriors and intercessors? Because we are fighting a real devil and a real war, and we need real soldiers. And the second thing I would say to you is, we can't lead them down the path of purity if we face the same challenges that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell me that God can make a way for me if you doubt in yourself.
That's right.
See, this is why we go through some of the things we go through.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that Jesus was tempted exactly like we are, yet without sin.
That's right.
That means there isn't anything that we can bring to him in prayer that will make him say, sorry, never dealt with that one before. Come back later and I can help you out. No, he went through everything imaginable so he could show us how to handle it.
That's right.
And this is where humility comes into play. See, maybe you weren't ever tempted in the way that some of our young people are today.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a reason for you to become prideful. That's the reason for you to become prayerful and to get involved. That's whatever right. you did to overcome the temptation needs to be passed on to somebody else. See, the last question I want Jesus asking me on Judgment Day is, why didn't you help those people that I planted in your path?
Yes.
I sent them your way because you were the only one I had around that could help. Again, all these problems that I listed earlier, I'm not to brag about the fact that maybe I'm not going through one of those things. Maybe I haven't faced some of that stuff because, I mean, that should cause me to humble myself and realize that God's grace is upon me. And when I humble myself, then God can exalt me when the time of my exaltation becomes due. Right? So again, the second step to clean out the closet is humility. We got to throw out pride.
That's right.
And bring in humility. And the third step to clean out the closet is we need to give all of our problems over to Jesus.
That's right. Okay.
Now, I know that's easier said than done. Because when the money is short, and the doctor hasn't given you any good news, and the boss is giving you a hard time, and your kids are acting a fool, and your friends, and your spouse, and your neighbors, and your family members, and everybody's out of control around you, that's the time we're supposed to turn all that over to Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, you might as well turn it over to him because you can't fix it. If you could have, you would have, right?
That's right.
So what else are you going to do? Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How do we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? By doing verse 7. See, I humble myself before God when I acknowledge that he is greater than I am.
Yes.
I humble myself before God and I give him control of every area of my life. The key thing we have to realize is that Jesus just won't come and take the cares away. I have to cast them upon him. And this is where the first two steps begin to work together. When I come to grips that with the fact that we are a family, I'm going to talk to Daddy about you. If you're working my nerves, I'm telling Daddy. If you mistreat me, I'm telling Daddy.
Yeah.
When you talk about me and try to take advantage of me, I'm telling Daddy. When I see you making bad choices in life, I'm telling Daddy. Not to get you in trouble, but to get you out of trouble. Because that's what families do. Okay? If I can see that I'm not, if I can't make an impact on you, I'm running to the Father, the one that created me, because he's the only one that knows how to fix it. Okay? The humility comes into play even more when I realize that I'm probably working your nerves too. I've probably done something or said something to you unintentionally that made you run to the Father on me. And we have someone in our midst here that's a shining example of that. Every now and again, Deacon Pierce will get up and say, look, y'all, if I've done anything to anyone in here, I'm sorry. Charge it to my head, not my heart. Now, that's a real man. That's a man that knows he's not flawless, and as nice as he is, he realized that something he said or did could have been misunderstood by somebody or taken out of context, and he's humble enough to try to fix that before it becomes a problem. See, that's why we need to take all of our mess and all of our issues and all of our circumstances and all of our problems and the obstacles and the worries and the day-to-day challenges that the Lord knows we can't handle and give them to him.
That's right.
Because he can see things about us that we can't.
That's right.
See, in my neighborhood, they collect trash every Monday. You know, all that trash out to the curb on Sunday nights, and I put it on the curb and I leave it. Somebody the next day, they come by and they take it away. And when I come home, all I see is an empty trash can. And I don't give the garbage that was in the can another thought, because it's gone.
That's
I wasn't supposed to keep the garbage. Once I got rid of it and cast it on the curb, it was no longer my concern. It's somebody else's job to worry about where it goes, what landfill it gets sent to, how it gets turned into compost. That's not my concern. My job is just to put it where the person whose job it is to take care of it, and they come and get it, and I go on about my business. And that's how we are to approach our cares and concerns. Our Lord instructs us to bring all that stuff in, catch it upon him, and let him work it out. Because see, our problem is, we take it to the Lord, and then we wrestle. We don't know how to live worry-free. We give it to him. If he doesn't turn around and answer fast enough, we want to go get it back from him. We want to get it back and work it out ourselves. And that's not how it works. So you and I have not been called to carry around our burdens. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to carry His burden. Because Jesus said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So what is the burden that He wants us to carry? Mm-hmm. We're to take up His cross and follow Him.
Yes.
The thing we're supposed to be concerned with is living life the way He did. Mm-hmm. Making sure all of our thoughts and our attitudes and our actions please the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And when we focus on living a godly life, we humble ourselves to realize my focus is not on my will, but on Thy will.
Yes, sir.
Not on what I want the Lord to do for me, but what the Lord wants me to do for Him.
Mm-hmm.
This is what enables us to resist the devil, to resist the temptation, to resist the pride, to resist the I'm better than you attitude. Because Satan is always walking around looking for somebody to pounce on and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 9 tells us to resist Satan because of that long list of things I listed earlier, all of us have faced one or more of those problems.
Mm-hmm.
See, I can talk to you about how you overcame, and then that can help me through it. So you gotta remember, we're all a family.
Mm-hmm.
And we must practice humility.
Yeah.
And we must turn all of our problems over to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, we now have our lives decent and in order, and we've got a clean closet so we can see all that God has placed in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got a closet at home that you've never cleaned out, once you begin to go through it, you may find clothes in there that you probably forgot you had.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see all kinds of things that you didn't know were in there, and this is why we need to clean out our spiritual closets.
That's right.
We can't always see the blessings that we've received because of all the other junk that's in the way blocking our view.
Mm-hmm.
See, some of us have our mind cluttered with junk, and we can't see how much the Lord has blessed us.
Yeah.
But today is the day to clean out your closet.
Yes, sir.
Get rid of the garbage.
Yeah.
And this is why the doors of church are open right now. Okay. In the same precept of culture finances, in order for you to become a member of God's family, you must accept Him. You must accept your Son Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the salvation He gave His life for.
Yes.
Once you do that and humble yourself
mm-hmm.
to the point that you acknowledge that only the blood of Christ can save you, you can then move into the place where you can cast all your care upon and experience real love, real joy, and real peace.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have one this morning?